Hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Joel Johnson, certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. He's been published in Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, and the Hartford Business Journal. Every weekend you can see him on TV on WFSB Channel 3 on the Saturday and Sunday morning news with Kara Sundlin, or Saturday at 7 a.m. in Boston on WCBV. He has a segment called Better Money. He's been an analyst for Fox Business and Fox Connecticut, and he's authored six of his own books, including most famously The Money Map. Joel, always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. I feel very safe. I was down in Quantico, Virginia last weekend, and I was in a room with 90 Marines.
Yeah.
So I had this just wonderful, warm feeling of nobody can hurt me here. Kind of a thing. It was actually pretty awesome. So down there on the campus where the FBI and the CIA Academy are also. So it's a pretty amazing place down there. If anybody gets a chance to go through there, the Marine Corps Memorial is there, and you can see it from 95. I'm sure many of our listeners have driven by, and it's quite an impressive building, Marine Corps Museum. So if you get a chance, check it out. But it's a pretty fun time down there.
I'm assuming this has something to do with your son, Michael, who is a Marine now.
Yeah, he just finished infantry officer's course, or infantry officer's school, as some people refer to it. So he completed that. About half the kids failed out. And now he's off with his wife, Alyssa, to Camp Pendleton, to San Diego. And he will be there. He'll be based there for a few years. He'll probably be all over the place, but he'll be based there. So we wish him the best. We're pretty excited. Mom is finally saying what I said 2 or 3 years ago when he graduated high school, and all our kids graduated high school. This is kind of sad. No more sports. And she said, what's wrong with you? You know, you're a big baby. You'll be fine. And then now she's going, this is pretty sad. They're moving away. So It's interesting how the cycle of emotions works in parenting.
I would have thought that would have gone the other way. I would have thought she would have been more immediately sad, and you would have been like, it's fine. And then after they're gone for a while, then you notice. So it's interesting that it was the opposite in your
case. Well, it kind of created a complete vacuum for me because we had all the sports going on, right? Hockey and baseball and fall baseball and all of that. And so all of a sudden the activity just ground to a halt when all the boys, you know, one at a time started going off to school.
Makes sense. Well, before we jump in to our first topic today, which is about the financial excuses that you make for yourself or maybe make for other people, let's give you our quote of the week, Joel, which is from a German-American actress named Marlene Dietrich. There's a gigantic difference between earning a great deal of money and being rich. Well said.
Not only is it well said, but boy, is that ever timely. In this day and age, we always hear people call somebody that makes a high income rich, and that is many times not the case at all. We see it in our business. People come in for a second opinion. They have very, very high incomes and not a lot of money set aside, and then we have other people with modest incomes that have saved a great deal of money. So high income and rich have nothing to do with each other. Rich means you have assets. There's a saying down in Texas, big hat, no cattle. And what that means is you look real sharp on the outside, but you don't have any assets to back it up.
Well, again, this is Money Wisdom. Joel Johnson is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti. We're talking today about the excuses that you often make for yourself. Your emotional brain and your logical brain are often in conflict with each other. Your emotional brain is the bigger part of your brain, but the logical brain likes to think that it's in charge. So a lot of times when you're making an emotional decision, you try to come up with what sounds like a logical reason for doing it. And so that's where a lot of these excuses come from, Joel. So I'm going to give you some scenarios and you can explain why these excuses don't really hold water. So, as an example, when somebody wants to start their Social Security at age 62, maybe their logical brain knows that that's not the best idea, but their emotional brain wants to turn on that income stream. So they say, well, you know, I paid into the system all those years. I want to be sure I get my money back before the system goes bankrupt.
Yeah, and a lot of people do say that. And then there's the other extreme of that where people say, well, everybody knows you should wait until age 70 to take Social Security, so I'm going to wait as long as possible because I'll get more money. And just because you get a bigger check doesn't mean you get more money, because you might not live long enough to make up for all the payments you missed. So this is why everybody needs a retirement income analysis. We call it our retirement income maximizer. And what that consists of is a retirement income plan that factors in the timing of Social Security. When should you take Social Security? But don't just have this emotional reaction and say, I'm going to take it as soon as I can get it because the system's going to go bankrupt. First of all, the system, it's unlikely that you're not going to get your checks. Bankruptcy is interesting to try to define bankruptcy because it's the federal government that owes the money to the federal government. But are you going to stop getting your checks? I don't think so for people that are, you know, over 60 right now. However, that said, forget about that for a minute. You want to take Social Security when it makes sense for you to take it. And that doesn't mean it's age 70. It doesn't mean it's age 62 for everybody. It depends on your own individual situation. So don't have this emotional reaction as if, you know, the dollar is going to collapse and the government's going to collapse and I better get my money out before, you know, the whole country goes bankrupt. Make sure it's part of a systematic plan.
So that's an excuse if you've ever heard yourself making that. Maybe you need to rethink that Social Security decision if you haven't already gotten too far down that path. What about this one, Joel? When somebody is taking too much risk with their money and they know it, we'll often hear something like, well, you know, I'm behind in my savings, so I need to make up for lost time. I need to hit some home runs, if you will.
Yeah, rarely does that work, and most of the time somebody gets hurt because there's two things that can happen. One is you take extra risk to try to make up for being behind, and the market turns against you and you end up being way worse off than if you would have just been somewhat conservative and not lost the money. The other thing that can happen is people are going to think this is kind of strange, but you could be right. You could take a bunch of risk, and because you take a bunch of risk and you just time it right and you get lucky, all that risk ends up making up for the money you did not save. The problem with that is you'll give it back. It's like winning at the casino. You'll give it back because you think that's the norm. And what'll happen is somebody that makes up for not saving enough money for retirement, and the last few years they just take a bunch of risk and they hit a home run and now they're going to be okay in retirement, they will continue to take that risk until it comes back to bite them. So the answer is don't take more risk than you need to. And if you're behind, you'll have to work a little longer. You'll have to save a little bit more money. But don't try to make up for being behind by taking more risk. It almost always goes against you.
Sounds like it's that same dynamic of the lottery winner who is bankrupt in 5 years, or the athlete who goes from the projects to multimillionaire overnight, and then a couple of years after he retires, he's out of money because so much money came so quickly. It wasn't earned slowly over a period of time. You lose perspective on what's realistic. And I guess that's what you're saying is the same thing. If you make too much money in the market too quickly, you lose perspective on what reality looks like.
Well, you completely lose perspective. It's like an actor that has a tantrum because the second sink in the Gulf Stream doesn't work or something like that. You know, right. there's a complete loss of perspective sometimes, and it just doesn't happen to, you know, athletes and entertainers and so on. It can happen to average people when they go from not making a lot of money to all of a sudden making a lot of money.
We're talking about excuses that you make surrounding your money and your financial decisions. What about this one, Joel? When somebody has way too much money in the bank, or way too much money in cash in their retirement accounts. And again, their logical brain knows it, but they have to create some kind of excuse to make it seem like their logical brain is in charge. And often that excuse we hear when people have too much money in cash is, well, I lost a lot of money in the last market crash. I don't want to go down that road again.
Yeah, and the problem with that answer is, first of all, and like any of these answers, people are making decisions based on their emotions, and then they're trying to create a reason to justify it so that their logical brain allows their emotional brain to do basically foolish things. When somebody has way too much money in cash because they say that they lost a lot of money in the market crash, well, what's really going on there is they shouldn't be in charge of their own money. They should be working with somebody that can help them allocate their money in such a way, creating a mix of different investments so that they don't get hurt. If they lost a lot in the last market crash and they couldn't handle it, they were obviously not set up properly when it came to their investments. So instead of letting somebody else help them come up with the proper plan, or if they working with an advisor back then, changing advisors, getting somebody that can do a better job for them, now they're just in charge. They may have been in charge back then when they lost a bunch of money. Now they're still in charge. They're going to make another mistake. They're going to make mistake after mistake after mistake, and their family and they will pay the price in retirement. Again, what we're talking about here is somehow removing the emotions from the investment decision. And it's really hard to do. People in the business managing money have a hard time doing it. And so if people in the business managing billions of dollars have a hard time removing the emotions from the decision-making process, who are we, the individual out there, the individual investor, the person that's just working hard and trying to save money, who are we to think that we can completely remove the emotions from our decisions? So again, emotion versus logic. How much are we going to allow our emotions to be in control of our money management, or are we going to make decisions based on emotion and then create a reason why it made sense? And this can go on and on and on, right? We can talk about when somebody just removes themselves completely from finances by saying, hey, financial stuff just really isn't my thing. I'll leave it to the experts. Or somebody can say, well, I don't want to leave my existing broker because they're such good friends. They play golf with me, or they take me out on their boat. All of these decisions, it's just so important that you come at them with perspective, because this is your money. This is not some game you're playing. This is actually your money. It's meant to last you for the rest of your life. And then if you've saved enough to have something to pass on to either the organizations you care about or the people that you love. So let me pose this question to you. You've saved and invested for retirement. What are you going to do now? The savings that you have, whether you're already retired or you're getting close to retirement, what is the plan? Because the plan should be fundamentally different than it was when you were in your 30s or 40s. When you get close to retirement, you want to go into a retirement philosophy or a money management philosophy of preservation with reasonable rate of return. And the big mistake people make is they're still invested for growth, which means when they're taking too much risk, they don't find out until it's too late. So every one of you that's getting close to retirement or that is in retirement, you want to get a checkup to make sure that your portfolio and your financial plan is still aligned, or maybe needs to be aligned. So you want to make sure it is aligned with your current values and your goals. If you've saved more than you need to, maybe you can afford to take a little more risk. If you haven't quite saved enough, the way to make up for that is not to take more risk and roll the dice. It's to have a strong financial plan. Either way, whether you're just about to be retired, you need to have a good financial plan. If you're already retired, this is for you, because based on statistics, we've got to reduce our risk right now, make sure we're getting a reasonable rate of return, but don't take too much risk. So come on in. You should come into our office and get a money map. We will create a money map for you that shows how much risk you're taking. Do your investments line up with your goals? Do you have that full financial plan? And the great thing is we keep it simple. So call and get your own money map. We'll offer this to the next 12 callers at 1-800-705-1232. Again, if you can call in now and be one of the first 12 callers, we'll give you a money map. It's real simple. You come into our office, we have a conversation, have a cup of coffee together. We put together a money map for you that shows exactly where all your accounts are and if they line up with your goals. It's really simple to understand. That's why people love it. Very different, because it's nice and simple. Call 1-800-705-1232. Set up a time to come on in for a visit and get your own customized money map.
Again, that number, 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. No cost or obligation to come in and meet with Joel and the team at Johnson Brunetti. You'll leave with a copy of your own book, The Money Map, when you come in for your Money Map retirement review. Again, that number, 800-705-1232. You're listening to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. From time to time on the program, Joel, we like to sort of pull back the curtain a little bit on the financial industry and just explain some of the things that you probably should know about the industry. We're going to talk about this in the context of the mistakes that you make when you're choosing a financial advisor. First of all, not understanding how the advisor gets paid. It's not only okay for you to know that, it's probably in your best interest for you to know how your advisor gets paid.
Yeah, and this is just a simple question. Just say, well, how do you get paid? I mean, sometimes people don't bring it up. And, you know, when we're in our meetings with prospective clients, we tell them, hey, here's how we get paid. Here's how the relationship works. But from time to time, I'm sure we forget to bring it up because we're talking about a lot of things in those meetings, people's goals, people's dreams, the fears that they have. So just ask the question, how do you get paid? Most advisors get paid fees and commissions, and they might even charge you a planning fee. And there's nothing wrong with either way of getting paid, either of those three ways, but it just needs to be disclosed. So any good financial advisor, registered investment advisor, all of those things are disclosed very clearly in writing. Ours certainly is. And you need to know exactly how much your advisor is getting paid or how they're getting paid. Their interests should be aligned with yours. So with us, our interests are aligned with our clients. If they do better, we do better. If they do worse, we do worse. And so we want to be on the same side of the table as our clients so that we're profiting together or we're struggling together. And that's really, really important. But just ask the question how an advisor gets paid. They might earn commissions from selling certain products. They might earn investment management fees by managing your money. They might even charge, again, a planning fee to do a full financial plan. I'm not going to be against or for any of those things, but you just need to find out how do they get paid.
All right. Another mistake that people sometimes make when they're choosing an advisor is putting too much trust in that recognizable national brand name that you've either seen on TV or it's just a brand name that you've heard for years. I think a lot of people gravitate toward those names that they recognize, which may or may not be a good thing.
We see this all the time. The evidence bears it out in the industry that the larger stock brokerage firms, those one with the famous names that you can probably think of off the top of your head, tend to get the most in assets. Doesn't mean they're doing the best job. In fact, a very good case can be made that they're not doing a very good job at all, but people feel safe with the big name. They say, well, I don't really know what I'm doing with my money, so I guess I'm okay using this big giant company because the big giant company probably will do a better job and I'm probably safer there. And again, many times that is not the case at all. Many times it's that independent advisor, somebody that has a more local or regional presence, many times can do a better job for you.
Would it be true to say that the company matters less than the individual advisor that you're working with? When we're talking about it in the context of the big national firms that you recognize, isn't it much more important the individual advisor that you have than it is the company they work for?
I would definitely say yes, because, you know, 20 years ago, those big giant brokerage firms used to have access to special products, and now most of the products and strategies are accessible to any decent size individual financial advisor, independent financial advisor. So, you know, you take a company like, I don't even want to name names here, but XYZ giant firm that's been around forever that has bulls running through pastures and so on. It used to be that they had access to products that we couldn't even at Johnson Brunetti touch. We couldn't get near. And it was 20, 25 years ago. That's not the case anymore. In fact, sometimes we have access to products that they won't let their brokers sell. So it used to be a big advantage as far as access to products and strategies, not so much anymore.
So that's a mistake you might make when choosing an advisor, is putting too much emphasis on the national brand. How about the mistake, Joel, of just nodding and smiling instead of asking questions or asking for clarification when you don't understand what's being said?
Yeah, be real careful of this. And I think people do this because they don't want to feel stupid, especially, I'm going to stereotype here now, especially men. Men will sit in an appointment with a financial advisor, and whether their spouse is there or not, they will sit in an appointment with a financial advisor, and they will pretend like they understand what the advisor is talking about. And they won't stop the advisor. They won't ask the questions. You'll just pretend, and you can't do that. In fact, one of your advisor's gifts ought to be making things simple. You know, if you go to the Honda dealer because you have a Honda car and you need the engine fixed, you want the engine fixed. You don't want the mechanic to come out and tell you exactly how the double overhead camshafts work and that the computer, you know, automatically takes care of the valve timing. There's variable valve timing and all this. Most people don't care about any of that. You just want the car to run. And many financial advisors make things way too complicated. And then to exacerbate that problem, the person that they're talking to just goes along as if they understand, and that's just a recipe for disaster.
Got to be sure that you're paying attention and understanding what's happening with your money instead of just pretending for pride purposes that you know and understand when you really don't. All right, last mistake that we'll mention here, Joel, when it comes to picking a financial advisor is working with somebody who has the wrong specialty for your stage of life.
Sure. And this could be, you know, you're young and you want to invest for growth and you go find a financial advisor that specializes in people very close to retirement or that have just retired. It could be that, you know, the advisor that you're talking to, 95% of their clients are physicians. And then all of a sudden you're not a physician, you're a mechanic. That's going to probably be the wrong advisor for you to work with. So it's very important that you find an advisor to work with that's applicable to your stage in life, your profession, your values. There needs to be some kind of a connection there where most of the people that that advisor works with look and feel and act somewhat like you do. We have these big client events where we get 200 or 300 of our clients together. It might be for, you know, taking them to the ball game. It might be for an investment summit where I bring in a guest speaker and so on. And it's amazing because we look around the room and a lot of people kind of look the same. They look like they come from a certain economic background. Some of them dress the same. They're certainly the same age. And so people feel comfortable. They know that we have an expertise in working with clients whose lives look a certain way. And so it's real important that you don't work with somebody that specializes in a certain scenario that you are nowhere near. So we've been talking here about a number of subjects, but the bottom line is this is about you and your financial security. You've saved and saved. You've worked. You've got money set aside for retirement. You might even already be retired. So let me ask you a question. Do you know that you're going in the right direction with your retirement savings? Are you absolutely sure? Is it possible that you're missing something? Is it possible that you're taking too much risk? Is it possible that without having a written plan, you might end up going down the wrong road? I'd like you to call and get our Money Map Retirement Review. It's real simple. You make a call. This is absolutely free of charge. We will not charge you. You come in, you visit with us, and you get your own customized money map. It'll identify potential holes in your retirement, the things that can be roadblocks for a successful retirement. It'll also show you through our Retirement Income Maximizer if you'll have enough money to last for the rest of your life and what rate of return do you need on your money. We'll do a risk analysis for you. We'll put your entire financial life on one page. You'll be glad you came in. There's no pressure. It's absolutely free. So make sure you call and get your Money Map Retirement Review. We have conveniently located offices, probably one real close to where you are. Our calendar is limited, however, so call right away. Make sure you get your spot. Call 1-800-705-1232. Again, that's 1-800-705-1232. We'll create your money map. It'll be easy to understand and actionable strategies. People love it because it's simple. It's on one page. And whether you ever do business with us or not, you'll be glad you came in and got it. Again, it's free. Get your own money map.
800-705-1232. You can call or text 800-705-1232. If you're texting, just be sure to include your first and last name. If you're calling, just leave a message. We'll get back with you during the week and find a time for you to come in for your Money Map Retirement Review. 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. Thanks so much for tuning in to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. We'll talk with you next week, right here, same time, same place. Have a great week.
Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.